Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107, which we read together from the prayer book, the Coverdale translation. We have here the King James, the Authorized Version. It's very similar. And the theme of thankfulness of the last two Psalms is taken up here again, and from yet another perspective. In Psalm 105, we gave thanks especially because God always remembers his covenant, his promises to his people. And in Psalm 106, we saw that this was so despite the grave sins of the people of God, God's faithfulness to us, though we would be amazed that he would still keep us. We're hearing about this morning God's keeping of his people. Now in Psalm 107, we have here simply a call to all to give thanks to God, the redeemed of the Lord, all his people, to give thanks on account of the greatness of God's salvation. So it's a wonderful theme, and this psalm is rather like, I don't know if you like to hear, well I certainly do, what they call testimonies. We don't have them as part of our church service, but it's always good to hear about people being saved. And this is what we have in this psalm. We have several examples here of the way that God saves people. Of course today, before we start here, we wonder, don't we, what's going on? We wonder what the church needs to do in order to see more people saved. And there's lots of great programs out there and schemes and things. But the remarkable thing, in fact, I think we've seen it ourselves a little bit in recent days, is when anybody turns up at church, as it were, it's not that we've done it, it's something that God has done. And so it is with salvation. It seems to us, you think about people, you think, that's impossible. How could such ever be converted? I can't think what we could do for such and such a friend, family, or person, or neighbour, or whatever. How would they ever be saved? But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone's become a Christian. But apparently, one of many, many things may have happened to them first. There they are. Suddenly, out of Red China, there's millions and millions of Christians, and all sorts of marvellous things happen in wonderful ways that God does. So this is a call to give thanks unto God. And we have some very good and interesting examples here that show us that this is all of the Lord. That comes in the concluding section particularly. But we'll just consider some of these lovely examples that we have first of all. I've got four of them, and then we go on to consider that it was how God did it, which of course gives us as Christians great sense of peace, doesn't it? When I was on the way to hell, God picked me up and he's taken me to heaven. Praise the Lord, and we can be very, very thankful, despite whatever else is going on in that middle bit, which we call our life. So let's first consider the first person here, which begins at verse, well, we'll read the first few verses and then it brings us to our first one. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's literally what's happened. They've been redeemed. Every Christian has been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It does make you think, doesn't it? It's not something that I did. I couldn't have redeemed the enemy that was against me, the world, the flesh, and the devil. No chance. But God has redeemed his people and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. We know that the Jews were scattered and they were brought, some of them from different parts. But it's true, from all parts of the world, you see someone, you think, well, where have they come from? But God brings them to himself from all different lands. It's a lovely thing of unity that the world cannot create. Now to our first example, the wanderer. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. The wanderer, the solitary one. This is just one example of the sort of people that God saves. Many people wandering through life seem to be solitary, although they may be in company at times, not really finding anything, not finding what they need. A real hunger and thirst without God. People have got no satisfaction, and their soul, the pressure of life, there's so much to do, the soul will often faint within them. It speaks elsewhere in the scripture of people's hearts failing them for fear, and people living in fear of death. But then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Well, we thank God that they did. And why they did it? Well, God somehow revealed himself. Here I am, cry unto me. And he delivered them out of their distresses, led them forth. And then there's this chorus, as it were, we have here. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He satisfieth the longing soul, filleth the hungry soul with goodness. These, I think that verse refers back rather than forwards, but they all join together in a way. Now, it's only God that puts this longing for God into the soul, and it's a mystery to us. I was thinking of the example of the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. He wasn't exactly a wanderer in a way, but he was on his own. You can probably think through different examples of people that these verses might apply to. There was wandering in the wilderness in the Old Testament and such. But here, the Ethiopian eunuch, he was on his chariot and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah, you see. What's an Ethiopian? I mean, of course they are now. Ethiopians, a lot of Ethiopians are reading Isaiah. That's strange, isn't it? What connection has he got? Reading Isaiah. Amazing. See, sometimes it happens, wandering. He's not really wandering. He's on his way back to the Queen. He's a very important representative of the Queen of Ethiopia. But he's reading Isaiah. And then, there is Philip. And he comes up to him and he doesn't understand what he's reading, he says. So he explains to him, and he believes. You think, well, I talk to God, but they don't believe. But this is what happened here, this man. And there are many instances of people being given the Word of God, even just with the Bible, and they have been given through the whole of the Bible to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wanderers. There are people today wandering around, and we can see that we can identify them sometimes, because perhaps they are hungry and thirsty, not hearing, they don't hear anything. Who knows if we could speak to some of these people and be like Philip was to the Ethiopian, just a word at the right time. They might ask us, let's be ready to give an answer to them and tell them the good news. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. This man, when he was converted, he said, all is God's work. He didn't look to Philip. He didn't put Philip on his chariot and take him home. No, he was going home praising God for what God had done. This is what it is. It's all of the Lord. Then on to verse 10, we have a gloomy picture. Another picture, this time of the rebel. Verse 10, such as sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death. Think of drug addicts or people like that perhaps, being bound in affliction and iron, bring themselves into poor health, or those who got put in prison perhaps. There's lots of gospel work going on in prisons, some a bit better than others, I'm sure, but there are people in prisons. And in all sorts of darkness, though, of course. The reason is explained because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned, held in contempt the counsel of the Most High. They were opposed to God. They wouldn't have him. Like the one that said, we won't have this man reign over us. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. What state these people have got into, but God has done it. He's brought people down very low. They fell down. None to help them. You think, well, isn't there someone to help these people? We want to intervene. We have to intervene sometimes. We want to help people, and that's good. There's a good way to help people. But you see here, they weren't just relieved from their distress to carry on in their sin, but they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distress. It was nothing anyone else could do. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Well, I think of the example of people in, we read about these in the New Testament in Romans chapter 1. And you can probably think of people, perhaps some people we know or that we've met over the years, but in Romans it talks about people that they rebelled against the words of God, verse 11 of our psalm, contemned the counsel of the Most High. And in Romans 1:28 we read, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Well, that is a very polite way of putting things that are very, very wicked. And then it gives a list of the unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Well, these people perhaps you think, well, they've been given over forever and ever, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Well, this is the state of many people before they're converted, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, today we have many of these sins are approved nationally, and what a state we've got into. And we know that the course of actions that many take in their rebellion against God are going to bring them into a terrible state. We're not pleading with them for our sakes, but for their own sakes, for their sakes of their children, to repent. And we seem to do so in vain much of the time. We think it falls on deaf ears. But you know, we don't know what people are thinking. They don't tell us. Well, that's made me think. They'd be quite hard against it if we tell them of the good news of Jesus Christ. They'd pretend that they hate what we're saying. They don't know anything. They don't care at all. But it's going on, tick, 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 in their minds as they're in this terrible state. And then finally, if they're brought in their distress, where there's none to help, these rebels, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They must do that. They can't cry to us. We can't save them from their sins. They need Jesus Christ. And he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. And it's always good to hear these sorts of testimonies. People live such desperate, dark lives who are now Christians. And they live for good, to do good. And they live to the praise of God. And this is true. And the world can't deny that such things have happened. And we praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works. to the children of men. This is what Christianity has to offer the world, as it were. Well, it's maybe a way of putting it. We preach, and yet we must wait upon the Lord, sowing the seed, waiting for the men to be brought to Jesus Christ, the Saviour, who died for sinners. He hath broken the gates of brass. I don't know whether you've broken a gate before, but a brass gate is a very strong gate. Cut the bars of iron in sunder. The prisoner is given then freedom. And we come on to our next section then here. The fool. God saves fools. You would think that because of the transgressions and the iniquities and therefore the afflictions that come upon fools, you think this person, they've wasted their life, they've got no hope at all. But thankfully, the Lord even has mercy on someone who's been an utter fool and lived a terrible life for a long, long time. It's similar to the last one, perhaps, in some ways, so won't dwell on it too long. But here, they come to a point where they abhor all manner of meat. It's even worse than the rebel in some ways, just a desolate life, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Perhaps an older person here that's gone on further along down the road, and yet here they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And then they praise the Lord and with sacrifices of thanksgiving declare his works with rejoicing. A person here, they've got nothing in themselves, this foolish person. They're past all hope, they're without any strength in themselves. And yet, we thank God that there are those from such a state, you think, well, how could God even forgive them? But he does. He sends his word. We heard a testimony the other evening from a man who said that the words, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," just came to him, and he knew it was of Jesus Christ. And so we praise the Lord for such things. We love these things to be more common. And yet we don't know what days we are living in and what the Lord will be doing. I was just going to quote from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11. We have something of a description taken from Psalm 95, where it's been quoted here. So I swear in my wrath it's from verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with this generation and said, they do always err in their heart, this foolish heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. This is the state that many of them were in. And yet, some of them were later saved. These fools here were able, in this psalm, some of them, in such a state of erring hearts. The heart was completely gone. How could a man turn his heart around? He can't. Under God's wrath. Not going to enter into his rest. He's got this wrath of God remaining upon him. They don't know the ways of the Lord at all. And then his word comes. We must pray that God's word comes to people. And they know that it's the word of the Lord. And yet we feel so hopeless in all this, so unable to do anything. It's all we rely kind of calmly on the Lord, but we give thanks to him for his goodness in all the people who have been converted, who have been saved. And then we come to the almost the opposite of the fool, the foolhardy. If a person is a foolhardy, I suppose they are a fool, are they? But they're brave people here. Heroes, as it were. People that are strong, the mighty. We come here to the people that go down to the sea and ships, verse 23 through to verse 30. For some reason, this section, I've always been particularly drawn to this section. They that go down to the sea and ships, they do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. It's as if those who really go into life, into the hard grind of life, they really see actually there some real terrors. They see the reality of things. Here they're in the midst of the seas. They've gone out to venture in business perhaps. And there are some frightening occurrences that are going on. And they see here in the seas the great works of the Lord, his wonders in the deep. And a description here, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Those that are sitting at home, they don't see this. It's all calm, a bit of rain, a bit of a flood. But those in the sea, they go up and down, feet up and down. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. And while this is happening to them, as they're being brave and venturing around, their soul is melted because of trouble. Absolutely terrified. Even the strong sailor, even the disciples. Jesus Christ was there in the back of the boat. They were terrified. Lord, save us, they cried. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man. And they're at their wits' end. They see there that there's a power much greater than themselves. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses, just like they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. This is what the people of God know. They've been bashing through life in their own strength, and somehow the Lord brings them to a sense of terror. Well, there's much in the world today to be terrified of. There's many threats, whether they're social, economic, all sorts of things. And thankfully, often people are brought to a point. They have to cry out to God. It's the same about, we read about Martin Luther when he was converted just a while before. He was on the road walking with a man, and the man was struck by lightning, was struck dead. And that put the fear of God into Martin Luther. Well, there was others at sea. John Newton's a famous one at sea. Terribly wicked man, living a very immoral life. Really vile. He's really sunken down into become a very depraved man. And then when the waves got going, the sea got going, he knew if he died he'd go to hell. He cried out to the Lord. Well, there's much today for people to be terrified of. And yet they need the word of the Lord to know that there is a God to cry out to. They need to know. They need help. And the church throughout the world is there when people are converted. We trust that they'll come to true churches, not be, in the past some people have been, were almost converted, and they end up falling away. They go to church and they're told, oh no, that's not true, don't believe in the Bible, don't believe in this, don't believe in hell, don't believe in salvation, no, just carry on, oh you don't need to worry about all that. And they put their mind at rest. Well, thank God that his true people won't be satisfied with such, and they will seek out the truth. And we trust that in these days these things are still happening to the wanderers, the rebels, the fools, and the foolhardy, the brave. So just our final section from verse 33, we see these conversions here that we've read about. These great saving acts of God, they're not merely the saving of the body, but the saving of the soul. This is God's redemption. It's the full work is being described here. of people who were rebelling against God. They're brought home to God. They're saved not only from their sicknesses and from their distresses, but they're saved from their sins. They were enemies of God. Now they're friends of God. And now they praise the Lord for his goodness. And so here we see this described as a work of God's sovereign grace. It's his power. This is what gives great comfort to the people of God. Not that we're just a few gathered together. Not that we're of anything, that we know anything better than anyone else. But that it's what the Lord has done. And so that causes us to have this thankfulness that we should have for this great work of salvation, which brings people from this life of whether that we've been put to seek after the Lord, but where he's turned us, it's him that's done it, and he's bringing us to his heavenly kingdom. So we have great cause for rejoicing in the wilderness of life. He turned his rivers into a wilderness. The power of God. There's been rivers in places, suddenly they'd be dried up. It was a lovely place, full of rivers perhaps, flourishing. Then he brings it down. And water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. God is the judge. He deals righteously. He intervenes in dramatic ways to bring things to an end. He's brought down whole empires in a short space of time. One king rules half the world, then he's finished. And so God deals with people according to their sins. But then works the other way around too. There's a wilderness. There's nothing there. There's barrenness, dry ground. And he turns it into a standing water. And dry ground into water springs. And if we're Christians, we can say, well, this was what happened to me. I was dry and barren. And now I have within me this spring that's springing up into everlasting life. This spring of living water that the Lord's given me in Jesus Christ. He's given me an eternal hope. No one can take it away. Whatever they do, whatever anyone does, it can't be taken away. I can't stop being a Christian because it's something God has done. It's, I can't stop that. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell. That man that we read about that was hungry and fainting and wandering around. Now he's got somewhere to live. They may prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also. So they multiply greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Well, these things will be going up and down, as it says in the next verse. Again, they're minished and brought low through oppression, affliction and sorrow. Through this life, many changing scenes of life, many things happen. And the Lord is bringing them all to pass. He poureth contempt upon princes. Those that seem to be very powerful and successful, he can stop them in their tracks, as we said, of empires and kings. Causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. People in this life, many of them appear to have everything. But the Lord can bring them right down. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. See, all the way here, this is what the Lord does. He poureth contempt upon princes. He setteth the poor on high. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And there concludes our lovely psalm of salvation, that we should give thanks unto the Lord. It's an unusual ending, perhaps, for a psalm. Almost like a proverb, how it ends. It shows the way of those outside of God. It almost should cause them to consider their ways. Consider that though a man appeared to be a prince, he's really a solitary wanderer. He's nothing more than a rebel, or a fool, or a foolhardy man. And what he needs to do is to call upon the Lord. That's for the person that's been humbled before God and has been counted righteous. He is to rejoice. And to observe these things and to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. This is to make us appreciate God, that one of his great characteristics is his loving kindness. All these people that we've read about here and referred to, they were not saved by their works, were they? They weren't saved by anything they could do. If you read about them, they're terrible examples, all disastrous people. And it's God's loving kindness. All the people that are brought to the kingdom of God are brought there by the loving kindness of God. So if we're Christians, our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it's so because the loving kindness of God has touched us. His hand has been upon us. And as we read this morning, the good shepherd of the sheep doesn't lose any of his sheep. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee and we praise thee, and we should praise thee more. Forgive us our sins, we pray, and strengthen thy people, all who are gathered together, that to the world's eyes look like the outsiders, Lord, but we know thy great loving kindness toward us, that thou hast brought us out of the shadow of death, out of darkness, out of solitary wanderings, out of rebellions, out of foolishness, out of foolhardy, brave activities. And thou hast humbled us, Lord, and brought us to some sense of our distress and our need, and that we have been enabled to cry out to thee. And thou hast heard our cries. Thou hast delivered us from our distress through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he saves to the uttermost all that call upon him. And we pray for those that we know and love, those around us who we fear are going in these ways and in other ways perhaps that we've been thinking of this evening. And Lord, we just pray that they would cry out to thee, that thou would cause them to be given this life in Jesus Christ, this life that none can take away. Lord, we thank thee for thy loving kindness, and we pray that thou would keep thy people and enable us to continue day by day to be thankful unto thee for thy great salvation, such a great salvation, and that thy people may not neglect such a great salvation, but may work it out with fear and trembling, Lord, as we live before thee. Keep us, deliver us from evil, we pray. We may serve thee, Lord, wholeheartedly and to thy glory. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.